This is the Life of Lux podcast.
Welcome to the Life of Lux podcast. While we're on hiatus preparing for season two, we decided to share some unreleased recordings from our practice runs before the podcast launched. Enjoy.
How's it going?
It's going good.
What do you have a glass sitting there? What do you have in that?
Nice little glass of a little bourbon, you know, to kind of wet the whistle here as we sit down and talk for a little bit.
Wetting the whistle with some Weller 12. It's not a bad way to start a podcast.
Yeah, it's not too bad. You know, a little proof, you know, 90 proof, you know, you gotta work your way up.
Yeah, we got some other bottles over here and we'll get to those in a minute. But first, I want to talk about these hats.
Okay.
All right. So I was honored to receive a Life of Lux hat the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nice. Very well made. I know you've like tailored it to your exact specifications.
Yep.
But we have different head shapes.
Yeah, that's true. Thankfully.
You know, we're both follically challenged. Let's be honest. So we like our hats.
Uh-huh.
But you got more of the dome shape. You got a little higher dome than I do. Is there a way I could get the low profile life for a Life of Lux hat? Because right now I look like a 1976 NASCAR driver.
What's wrong with that? The 70s are back.
Anyway, it's a nice hat, but we might need to make some modifications.
We'll see what we can do for you, NASCAR driver.
You know, you don't let the dome out very much, but, you know, it's a little taller. It's like a third of a cone head, kind of.
That's how we do it in L.A., you know?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm cool enough to wear hats in L.A.
Yeah, I think so. As long as you're, you know, wearing a Life of Lux hat, you're cool.
All right. Sounds good. All right. So let's kind of get down to business here, because I read in the podcasting notes that you have 3 to 5 minutes to capture your audience.
Oh, I already left.
So right off the top, why did you name this Life of Lux?
It all started with watches. That was really my passion in the beginning with watches. When we left to move to LA, still loved watches, but things changed a little bit.
So do you know what the definition of Lux is?
Well, I have my definition. What's your definition?
Well, not my definition. Webster's definition is of high quality.
Mm-hmm.
There's another part that says elegantly sumptuous.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could describe you in two words, it would definitely be elegantly sumptuous.
Not scrumptious.
Not scrumptious. No. Sumptuous. Okay. do you feel uncomfortable right now? We got the dictionary definition, but what does it mean to you?
So for me, it's more about enjoying life with what you have. And so maybe it's a $5 cigar, maybe it's a $100 cigar. Just because it's $100 doesn't mean it's going to be better. So it's not really about the price point. It's more about enjoying life and enjoying it with your friends, your family. Have a nice cigar, have a nice beverage, and enjoying life. That's the luxury of life. Because if you look around the world, obviously most people aren't doing that and don't get the opportunity to do that, as they're still trying to find water for their family. So that doesn't really matter. If you even have a cigar in your hand in general, you're doing pretty good.
It's the way you look at everything. It's perspective, right?
Yep.
And to me, I think it's more about who you're with. It's like, that's what I remember more about. Yeah, okay. If you have like a really good bottle of wine, really good cigar or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember like location, who you're with. Like that seems to be more important.
Oh yeah, it's what the realtors say out there. Location, location, location.
Do you remember like when you first got that like first cigar that really hit, or the first glass of wine that really hit, first bourbon that really kind of got you hooked? Remember what it was for you?
Yeah, so like I'd say the first cigar, it was a Monte Cristo number 2.
So for me, like I didn't drink growing up. No drinking, no smoking, like very neat. My parents didn't do it, very conservative family. So I remember being in a restaurant when I was working for NASCAR, and I remember the guy next to me got a Pinot Noir. I could smell it, and I was like, what is that smell? He's like, oh, it's my wine. So I smell the wine. I'm like, I've never smelled anything like this before, and I don't even think it was like great Pinot. It's probably like decent Pinot. It wasn't great Pinot. So I have to go to Napa a bunch for NASCAR, and so I'm like, you know what? If I'm here, I'm going to try it. And it started with Pinot Noir, and that's pretty much it. Well, it's funny, I'll tell you about the bourbon too. So like I'd never even had bourbon, I don't think. And NASCAR was doing their first race in Kentucky. And I was like, you know what? I want to become a bourbon drinker. seems like something fancy people would do. So I want to be a bourbon drinker.
I want to be a bourbon drinker, but my friend Ben won't let me.
We'll get to that in a second. So I'm in Kentucky for a week, and we had a bar in the hotel. And so every night I would try one bourbon until I found one I liked. And it happened to be Woodford Reserve, which, you know, solid, whatever. Every night I would try a different bourbon, and, you know, there you go. Now I'm drinking Woodford, and now you've got me drinking all sorts of stuff.
I'm trying to do my job.
All right.
I'm courting you and hoping we're going to smoke a cigar together soon. So,
yeah, for everyone listening, I am not a huge cigar smoker. I do love wine. I love bourbon. So as part of this podcast, if and when we do multiple episodes, we'll do one finding my perfect cigar for sure. But we're going to top off our glasses here and take a quick break, and we'll be back with a segment that we like to call Lux or Sucks. We'll find out what that is next. So welcome back to the Life of Lux podcast. We have bourbon. We have some cookies. We have our Life of Lux candle. So Joel, I think we're ready to go for our next segment.
I think we're ready.
It has a very catchy name. It's called Lux or Sucks. You always kind of giggle when I say that.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
So basically the idea behind this is that folks could send in samples. We'll taste the bourbon, mm-hmm. or whatever, bourbon, wine, whatever, and then we'll give you our opinion on it. Now, sucks has a negative connotation, which is not our goal. That is not our aim. It's just kind of a catchy phrase.
Yeah. Yeah. The spirit is just not quite to our liking.
But as we've always said, Lux is to each his own, right?
Yeah.
So somebody may like it, may not hit our palate.
Yeah. Doesn't go well with the cookies.
Exactly. So Joel loves chocolate chip cookies with chips on the inside, not on the outside. That's for a different podcast. And what do we have to sample with here today, Joel?
Obviously, we got to start with a winner. And I'm a big fan of Willett. And that was the first time I ever got to put my name on the back label of a bottle. And so it's always been special to me. And it's one of the world's greatest whiskeys.
Yeah, it helps that it's pretty good.
So I decided to crack open a new Willett. It's pretty special. It's Drew, who's the master distiller at Willett. It's one of his new babies that he launched last year. And it's aged 8 year, and the mash bill is wheat. All you who love wheat, you know, you got to give it a try. And I really love it. I love sweet bourbon. So especially being with cigars, it pairs pretty nice.
How do you think it's going to pair with chocolate chip cookies? Because we're inside right now. We can't have a cigar. So how do you think it's going to go with the cookies?
Yeah, I know. And how about that, people? We got to talk to Ben. Let me have cigars if I'm going to do a podcast with them. You got to have a good partner.
I'll get there.
Listen to this sound. One of my favorite sounds. Oh, yeah.
That is good.
I know this is a 9.5-year-old bourbon. Well, the reason why it took so long, why it's 9.5 and not 8, originally it was going to be a 7-year. And then it aged so much longer by the time he developed the brand. It's like, well, now it's 8 years. So now we got to label it an 8-year. So then it's an 8-year. But then during COVID, it took so long to get the glass. Because of that, it's older. But they're like, they already put the order in for the bottle age and all that stuff. So the first batch, so if you can actually get the first batch of it, it's 9.5 years old. But going forward, it's going to be 8-year-old stuff.
That's the stuff that fascinates me.
The funny thing is with this one, some people are hating on this one, which is pretty wild to me.
Why do they say about it?
It's not their cup of tea. Willett is known for cask strength, especially their Willett family estate. It's just, you know, directly from the barrel. And this one is a little lighter proof, but still, it's not like we're drinking, you know, 86. Yeah, we still got a 108.
Yeah, but it's no slouch at 108.
It's just, I don't know, some people just love to hate. And I love to love.
Yeah, I mean, this definitely has like that Willett profile to it. I mean, I'm not an expert at the tasty notes like you are, but I do drink my fair share.
And this is cool too, because this is their own distillate.
Yeah, so that's the thing I learned. a little bit. It's like not everybody like makes their own stuff all the time. That's kind of like the dirty little secret, I guess.
Yeah, that's I guess that's a big topic right there. Because some brands, they cannot wait to make their own product. Once they make their own product, their company goes down. So maybe the companies that everyone was hating on isn't so bad after all. It's like, well, they mass produce everything. They're in everywhere. Like, okay, well, their products are pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And it shows for that, though, because the brands don't do as well. People stop buying the products because they start distilling their own spirit. So it's pretty wild how that happens. So in your opinion, is this Lux or does it suck to you?
Oh, this is delicious. This is Lux.
Yeah.
I mean, that's blasphemy almost to say that anything from Willett would not be up
well, I know.
Snuff.
That's why, you know, but that's the name of this segment. So, you know, you got to, I had to ask you the question.
I appreciate you asking the question, but yes, I would drink this anytime.
I love the black bottle. It's one cool thing about it, though, is when I talked to Drew about it, why is the bottle black? He's like, well, you don't know how much is in it. I was like, no, I don't. He said, so hopefully you and everyone else will just drink it, not like, oh, I only have this much left. So I'm like, I like that.
That's cool. I know they have, did he say anything about the like the shape of the bottle, why they did it that way?
Well, you know, Drew is a big wine guy. So it does resemble some bigger Napa wines. So I think that probably is part to do it too.
Yeah. I mean, it's a sharp looking bottle. I mean, it's black with gold lettering. It's got the signature purple top on it. I mean, what's not to love?
Yeah, I know. And we want to hear your comments too for the people that don't like it. Why? It's obviously, you know, okay, so there is that big factor too. We can talk about this time, we can talk about next time. Because everyone is always thinking secondary. So a lot of times when they walk into a shop, are they going to pay the retail of, I forget what retail this was, like $230, $280, but a lot of places are selling it for $500 to $1,000. Or some places I think I even saw was $1,200 for a bottle of this. So yeah, so is it a $1,200 bottle? No. If it was a $1,200 bottle, the Willett would have released it at $1,200. They released it at $230. And for $230, it's a great bottle.
For sure. Yeah, it's just crazy like why certain businesses sell at allocated prices and some don't. I mean, I know there's some like state laws and everything, but
that's a really tough one. Because they have to buy so much other product just to get those highly allocated bottles. Every business establishment is trying to figure that out. That's the number one question. How do we keep our customers happy? So a lot of times they have a lottery system or a point system. You know, people are trying to figure it out to give loyalty, you know, to the customers that shopping there, buying the regular products all year long. And that's how it should be. It should be treated fairly. And like, hey, these people spend a lot of money. They're buying all the regular products from you. You know, they should be rewarded. Why should you be a cherry picker and just be able to come right on in and you know, and just, you know, follow the truck around town knowing where the next location is that they're going to have the drop, you know?
No, I know. I found I will not reveal where this is, but I found a honey hole in Texas that was selling good stuff for allocated prices. So that was,
no, well, kudos to them for doing that, taking care of the customers and people who enjoy the product and not the other guys.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was so strange to see because you normally deal with such, you know, outrageous prices on the secondary market. I'm like, wait, is that right? And the guy was like, yeah. What? You know.
Thanks for listening to this Lux Light. We'll be back soon with more full episodes in season 2 of the Life of Lux podcast.